Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is a Saturday. We're at the fair. First Saturday of the fair. Some light rain moved through, now cloudy. A bit of a breeze blowing through. Very pleasant day. Steve Thompson, big thanks to our producer on site, Jonathan Lowe. Kerry Klatt in the studio downtown. We got a great show lined up ahead of the Twins and the Giants later today from Target Field. Our pregame show begins at 5:30. Chris Atterbury and then Corey Provis and Dan Gladden. Twins gained ground. They won. They beat the Giants 9-0 last night. And then Cleveland got beat in Seattle in 11 innings. Seattle roared back, wins that game. Twins are now three games out, all alone in second in the division. And we have a very special guest joining us from the fair, TJ DeBates, DNR East Metro Area Fisheries Supervisor. And TJ, good to meet with you. And I know you're at the fair. You're busy here at the fair, but keeping an eye on your football team today playing in Dublin, Ireland.
I am. So I'm kind of doing double duty.
Yeah, you're
the fish and...
Yeah, you're a Minnesota guy, but you went to school at Nebraska, played football there.
I did, many years ago.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're one of the alumni wondering, what is going on with my football team?
We are. You know, we have confidence that they'll get back on track. It's just kind of, it's been a tough few years for the Huskers.
Yeah, and you played with the current coach, Scott Frost. So,
I did.
But you grew up in the Stuartville area. Now, did you always want to be involved in the DNR? I mean, was that your plan to...
It kind of was, actually. When I went to Nebraska, I wanted to teach high school biology.
Okay.
And I went to my first education class, and I had, like, this light bulb went on and said, you know, I don't know if I want to teach. And I was lucky enough to do it my first semester, and they had a really solid fisheries and wildlife program, and I got into that, and the rest is history.
Now, talk a little bit about your job as the East Metro Area Fisheries Supervisor. A lot of terrific lakes in the East Metro area. Does that include the St. Croix?
It does. It includes the St. Croix from Taylor's Falls all the way down to Prescott. And then we manage all lakes, rivers, and streams in Washington, Anoka, Ramsey, and Dakota counties. That's our management area.
So there are a lot of great ones. And I would assume as a supervisor, you work with the conservation officers that are out in the field.
Yep, we do. We get a lot of emails from them, calls from them, just making sure a lot of times that folks are following the rules. But we all work together. Fisheries, wildlife, conservation office, we're all kind of one team.
Yeah, and the fair, the DNR booth, really at the heart of the fairgrounds. It's funny how that worked out, but you can't really get anywhere on the fairgrounds with going by the big DNR display and ultimately the fish pond. And we talked before we went on the air, it's got to be the number one attraction on the fairgrounds.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. I tell other folks that. I'm not 100% sure, but it's one of the top, you know, the higher visited locations. It's a great place. People can come. They can either look at the fish they're trying to catch, or some people just come and like to watch the fish swim around. It's kind of relaxing because it is a lot of people here. You know, if you need a little break and you want to kind of wind down a little bit, just come watch the fish swim around and relax a little.
You know what's amazing about it, TJ, is every year from the time my kids were real little, and now they're grown adults, have graduated from college, they have their own careers, and we're kind of planning our state fair visit, likely on Labor Day. I guarantee you one of the things they'll want to go see is the fish pond at the DNR booth, because it is that tie to childhood. But it is fascinating to see these fish in a pond that live naturally in waters around the state of Minnesota.
Yep, nope, and I might see you on Labor Day, too. I think that's when we're coming out.
All right.
That's what's really cool about it. You can go see, you can look at a fish down there like, wow, look at that big lake sturgeon. We have a really solid population of lake sturgeon on Lake St. Croix. These fish have been around since the dinosaurs. Yep. And you can actually go out and catch one of these fish. You know, we have big muskies in there. We have gar that you can catch in our metro rivers. I mean, these cool native river species fish, you know, that are really large, they live right, or they're in that pond. And you can go look at them and you know, do a little work and say, hey, I want to catch one of these, and look it up and say, hey, they're in White Bear Lake. I can go catch a muskie in White Bear Lake. And just kind of generating that interest in fishing in our resources, our aquatic resources in Minnesota.
And that is a challenge is exposing as more and more people gravitate to the Twin Cities and live in the metro area. The vast majority of people that live in the state live in the metro area and maybe aren't exposed to the outdoors the way they once were. And a big part of what the DNR does is encourage people to explore the outdoors. You don't necessarily have to fish or hunt to enjoy the outdoors, and that's a big part of the exhibit and what you're trying to do. The more people appreciate our natural resources, the more they're willing to preserve it.
Exactly, and I think, you know, Lake St. Croix, for instance, it has a really high diversity of fish species, and that's because it's pretty good water quality.
Yep.
You know, it's just a great resource, and when folks can come out and see what live in our lakes, rivers, and streams, and they can develop that appreciation for what we have in the state, and then they're going to want to protect and recreate on our waters.
And I suppose, you know, that's a huge part of it, to see people out there fishing and hunting and using the natural resources, even if they're just out there enjoying a boat ride, doing it safely, doing it lawfully. But, you know, it's a big part of the enjoyment of the job, I would assume.
It is, you know, and it's weird. I think I got into this job because I liked being outside.
Yep.
I liked playing with the animals, you know, the fish. I loved handling them. That's what I wanted to do. And then as I got further along in my career, it's kind of that public service part. It's like working for the anglers, it's working for Minnesotans, creating those opportunities that are pretty special. And in the metro, we have some really good fishing resources here. And a lot of folks think that it's all in greater Minnesota. We have some really tremendous resources here.
Yeah, there are a lot of great lakes, even in the East Metro area. You outlined some of those. The St. Croix is phenomenal. I live on the Mississippi north of the Twin Cities. I see people catching fish out on the river all the time. Now, they're out there early because the recreational boaters take over on the weekends in the summer months. But, you know, there's been some really nice bass pulled out of the river very close to my house, where it's kind of like, wow, that's a nice fish.
Oh, yeah. It's impressive. I know, like, when I first started here, you know, growing up, we'd go north for family vacations.
Sure.
And you just pass right through the cities. And you know, now I work in an office where we're managing these fishing resources, and there are some really good resources, and a lot of people just don't realize that in the metro.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to the pond and the work that goes into the pond. Tell us about the fish, how they're brought in, where they come from. I know there's been a lot of stories done over the years, but I love this story because it really is a team effort to keep these fish alive and then bring them into the fair, keep them alive at the fair, and then return them for what ultimately, well, we know it's on the way this fall, early this winter.
Yep, exactly. So it's the East Metro office and the West Metro office. We're the ones that collect the fish. We're the ones that bring the fish over. We have a top secret pond where all of our larger state fair fish are at all year round. It's a little spring-fed pond. They live in there all year, and basically we lower the water. We have a water control structure. We lower it down where we can seine it, and then we have, you know, 6-7 tank trucks. We net them, put them on the tank trucks, and bring them over to the fair. And then it's always the Wednesday before the fair starts.
Sure.
This year we changed it up a little bit. We brought our indoor tank fish over on Tuesday, just to kind of limit the chaos that goes on a lot of times. But it's kind of a well-oiled machine. We do it every year, and we enjoy it. And then we also collect them too. Usually our smaller fish we collect like the 2 weeks before, because we put them in the big pond where all the big predators are at. They're probably going to get eaten throughout the year.
Right.
So throughout the year we collect them, but like we really kind of focus on those 2 weeks before the fair to get those smaller indoor fish.
And, And are there challenges? And I would assume they get stressed during that process, and the fair is a bit stressful. But they seem to do really well. I mean, I'm sure there's careful monitoring of water temps and making sure the water is fresh. By the way, where does the water come from?
So it's just it's
right
a well.
Out of the pond?
No, yep. So it's a well, you know, below the
sure.
ground. It's, you know, it's not chlorinated. It's not city water,
okay.
And so it's good water. It's cold and it holds a lot of oxygen, and so the fish are in good shape. But you are right. When we bring them over, they get handled, and when fish get handled, it stresses them out. And so we do get a few low number of mortalities, but most of them end up going back to our kind of top secret pond to, you know, live another year.
And I love that. There's a top secret pond for the state fair fish. I mean, that's one of the most Minnesota things ever.
I know, totally, right?
Yeah, that's great stuff. And I would assume some of these fish have been around. I mean, obviously they're very old, but have been coming to the fair for a long time. Do you have records on the fish? I'm sure you track what you've got there.
We do. I think our oldest fish is the biggest lake sturgeon in there, and I think we got that in 1988 or 89.
Wow.
So
it's
been around for
a
while.
That's a good run.
Yep, good run.
I've been coming to the fair for CCOs since 98, so some of these sturgeon have been around at the fair longer than me.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Puts things into perspective, doesn't it?
It is a wonderful attraction. There are certainly other things to see over there as well. We invite people to stop by. It's hard to miss. Heart of the fairgrounds, just south of the grandstand, the DNR facility. It is wonderful. I can hardly wait to get out here with the girls on Labor Day, take some photos. It shows how time flies. They're grown women. I remember bringing them as little kids, but it is timeless, the fish pond at the DNR.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, kids, adults, everybody likes seeing the fair, or the fish at the fair, and we like doing it, and it's a very positive thing that we can do at the fair.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Well, good to meet you, TJ. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
My apologies on your football team's performance in Dublin today. By the way, we're going to have some scores with Jonathan Lowe a little bit later on. College football getting started today. Gophers get started on Thursday over at Huntington Bank Stadium. TJ DeBates, DNR East Metro Area Fisheries Supervisor. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
We've got more coming up from the fair here on News Talk. 830 WCCO. I was not able to get an invite to the secret DNR fish pond here from TJ DeBates from the DNR. He wouldn't tell me off the air where it was. That was pretty cool. So step by the fish pond at the DNR booth when you're here at the fair. It is one of my favorites. Now, coming up later on in the hour, we're going to put State Fair spokesperson Maria Hayden on the spot and ask, is DNR Fish Pond the most popular spot on the fairgrounds? I would assume they measure things like that. Another popular spot, Sweet Martha's Cookie Jar, right next door here at the fair. We consider ourselves the auxiliary dining room for Sweet Martha's every year. People come by and consume cookies. And I haven't had cookies yet. But I will, I promise you, and some mini donuts. With TJ, who, by the way, is a Minnesota native, went to Nebraska, played football down there. His Huskers got beat today. Big Ten opener in Dublin, Ireland, 31-28, the final. Northwestern beat Nebraska, the final 31-28. Jonathan Lowe loves college football. One other Big Ten team in action, Illinois and Wyoming. Illinois leading at 7-0. That in the first. Your thoughts on the game in Dublin, Jonathan?
Well, the thought of a football game in Dublin, it's not new. It's happened before. But the teams that went over there were kind of odd. I would never have thought in a million years you'd have Northwestern and Nebraska as your representatives for American football over in Dublin. Nebraska maybe in the 80s. Maybe the 70s, but...
Well, I immediately thought when I heard there was a football game in Dublin today, Notre Dame's going to play there.
Yes.
They're going to have the Fighting Irish in Dublin, but no, it's the Wildcats and the Huskers, and the Huskers once again found a way to lose the football game today, 31-28. They came so close so many times a year ago, and they ultimately get beat again today. So we are underway in college football, and here we go, another season.
It's amazing how short the summer is.
Yeah.
Because you have college football, and it's not even September yet.
You're right.
And the fact that we have these week zero games, it does feel kind of odd. We're waiting for Labor Day weekend and all of that rigmarole and everything to come around there. But you got Big Ten teams already playing. That is a conference game. That is a game that counts in the conference standings, and it happened before Labor Day, and it happened across the Atlantic. It's bizarre.
That is television, my friend, and their influence, and it will only grow. I still can't get over, and I haven't had a chance to visit with you about this, that $7 billion deal, NBC, CBS, and Fox are going to have an NFL-style Saturday coverage of Big Ten football going forward, and they paid handsomely for it. It is extraordinary, the money flowing in. And the SEC has a big deal, and that'll only continue to grow. It's amazing.
You get astounded by the money. You know how much money these schools bring in, this sport brings in, through the TV rights, through the gates, through all the fandom. But when you start talking about all these billions with a B of dollars, it's mind-numbing amounts of money. You remember the Mega Millions jackpot that was over $1 billion a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
This is about seven times that. That's insane. That's insane amount of money. But it brings up to me some questions about, okay, so what does this do with NBC? Because they have Notre Dame exclusively. What happens to Notre Dame and their TV contract? There may be some crossover next year between the CBS and the SEC and the Big Ten and what's going to happen there. So, to me, there are still some questions to figure out. But I think it's an amazing package. And to have Fox with the early game, CBS with the mid-afternoon game, and then NBC with the night game, Saturdays and Sundays are going to look very similar now in a football television landscape. Very similar.
And these Big Ten universities can afford to add more men's and women's sports. At the U, there was a lot of controversy about men's gymnastics, other programs being cut. They now have the money to bring those back and create more opportunities for student-athletes. I hope 100% of this money isn't poured back into the football program, so I hope they do the right thing and create more opportunities for student-athletes and other sports. We'll see how that plays out. High school football got started. There was an intriguing game. Brainerd played at Coon Rapids last night. Brainerd had a big lead at Coon Rapids. Cardinals roar back, win it 21-20 late. So we're off running. High school football begins in earnest around the state. Those were some zero-week games, but things gear up at the end of the week in high school football as well. Speaking of football, Vikes, they play in Denver tonight. The preseason is almost over. It's almost over.
Your reaction was my reaction.
Yeah, no.
Wake me in about a week and a half.
Yeah.
When the Bills and the Rams kick it off for real.
Yep.
And
that's
we're playing actual football games.
Yeah, exactly. When they start to count, wake me up. Starters. Or potential starters expected to play tonight when the Vikes play in Denver to wind up the preseason, and then the countdown to the opener with Green Bay at U.S. Bank Stadium. All right, quick break. We've got much more coming up from the fair, and a state fair spokesperson, Maria Hayden, will join us about what's going on in the fairgrounds. I think based on the crowds, we are back to normal after a couple of COVID years. State fair year, and then a return a year ago, and now we're right back to normal. It sure feels that way, and we'll get into that in a moment. Following the weather on News Talk, E3OWC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
PCO. We are back at the fair through 5:30 today, and then we have the Twins and the Giants from Target Field. Our pregame show beginning at 5:30 today with Chris Atterbury, Corey Provis, Dan Gladden with all the play-by-play. Twins won, beat the Giants 9-0. More importantly, Seattle did the Twins a favor, beating Cleveland late last night, so the Twins are 3 games back, and we'll try and gain more ground once again. Twins and Giants, Sonny Gray, Morton Twins coverage coming up later here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Right now, we're pleased to be joined by Maria Hayden, State Fair spokesperson. And Maria, it's been a whirlwind, I'm sure. Here we are, first Saturday of the fair, and everyone's settling in. But the crowds have been phenomenal, haven't they?
Yeah, we're really grateful for everyone who's been able to come out so far. There's really great energy on the fairgrounds. It feels like everyone's really excited to be here. So,
yeah, and 2 years ago, because of COVID-19, there was no state fair, and then there was a fair a year ago. But it really feels like back to normal here in 2022, doesn't it?
Yeah, that we've been hearing that from a lot of people. The last 2 years have just been very different, and so it's nice to all be able to come together and be back at the Great Minnesota Get-Together.
There is a reminder, though, there aren't as many park and ride opportunities around the metro as there was before. And there's been a lot of chatter about that. But today, coming to the fairgrounds, no problem getting in and finding a spot to park, really. And Saturdays and Sundays traditionally are the biggest days of the fair.
Yeah, that's great to hear. We have a lot of different ways to get to the fair. We've got the park and rides. We have bike lots. We have express buses. So if people need to plan out their route for the fair, we have all that information on our website, mnstatefair.org.
Yeah, and ride and share is another popular option as well, and you've accommodated that. Kind of a new thing, but ride share, I would assume, is very popular.
Yep, we've got some designated pickup and drop-off points for those as well for people to take.
Yeah, and there are a lot of opportunities on the grounds, but once again, if you're planning to come out, say for instance tomorrow, the weather looks good, the weather looks great this week, and right now, final weekend of the fair, just get out here a little bit early and you should be fine.
Yeah, we recommend people just plot their route in advance. They can check our Twitter account. We actually tweet out parking updates periodically, so they can take a look at that before they come to the fair to see if what they were planning is still going to work out for them.
And some folks like to get out to the fair early and enjoy the fair. Some come a little later and take in the grandstand acts. And things are going well at the grandstand as well. Crowds have been very good for the show Friday night. Counting Crows, over 10,000 in-house. That was great.
Yeah, we've had a great last two nights of grandstand shows. Tonight we've got Portugal the Man, Manchester Orchestra, and special guest Bad Bad Hats, the Currents Music on a Stick show, so we're excited for that. Tomorrow night's Pitbull, then we've got the Temptations and the Beach Boys, so we've got a great lineup coming up the next couple weeks here.
Now, are they sold out, or are tickets available for upcoming shows on the grandstand?
There are tickets available for most shows still. Depends on which show, what the availability looks like. But all of that information is available on our website, mnstatefair.org. People can go there and then see what the availability is for the shows they're interested in.
Yeah, and there's some huge acts. There's Comedy Jim Gaffigan in later in the fair, Zach Brown Band, one of the legends, Diana Ross.
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible. And really the talent coming into the State Fair shows what a big deal this is and the national reputation the State Fair has.
Yeah, there's a great variety of different legends like Diana Ross coming, or the Beach Boys and the Temptations. Yeah. Florida Georgia Line is coming, which I know a lot of people are excited to go and see. So there's a great variety of music. There's really something for everyone if they're interested in seeing a concert here.
Now, one of the big items, and I know you, as part of your job, one of the lead-ups to the fair are the new food items.
Mm-hmm.
And television's all over it. Newspaper reporters, radio people love to eat. So new food items this year, what really stands out for you? I know you don't want to leave anybody out, but what really stands out for you, Maria?
Yeah, so we have 38 official new foods this year, and there are some really great options on there. We've got a lot of new vegan options this year. One that I actually tried a couple days ago was the chicken fried steak from the Herbivorous Butcher, so completely vegan. So that was a new experience for me. I'm not vegan, but it was fun to try it. We've also got things like pickle pizza. We've got the mini hot at RC's Barbecue, so a really great barbecue dish. So there's a lot of cool new stuff to try.
Yeah, and there are traditionalists like me that give me a Prano Pop, give me a Tom Thumb mini donut, and then some of the newer items, and I air quotes new,
yeah,
Dole Whip. Love the Dole Whip. So I am a traditionalist, but I might branch out and try some of the new items. A lot of great items here in the fair. What about new exhibits, things to see and do? Earlier, we had a gentleman from the DNR, TJ DeBates, DNR East Metro Area Fisheries Supervisor, talk about what goes into the fish pond. It's got to be one of the number one attractions on the fairgrounds every year.
Yeah, it's probably up there. That DNR fish pond is very, very popular, and it's really cool to be able to go there and see and learn about all the different fish. Generally, the number one most visited attraction at the fair every year is actually the Miracle of Birth Center.
Sure.
Which is also a really great one to check out. Yep. We've got a bunch of FFA kids there teaching about agriculture and the miracle of birth. So that's a really great one to see as well. We've also got a couple new things this year,
sure,
as you mentioned. We've got the Blue Ribbon Bingo in Ramberg Center, so that's very exciting. It's the first time bingo is coming to the fair. So people have been going there, resting their feet, and being able to play a couple rounds of bingos with their friends and family.
I mean, so it's legit bingo.
Yes.
I mean, oh, wow.
So, yeah, you can win a couple of different prizes. You could win tickets to come back this year, tickets to come next year. So that's super exciting.
Yeah, and The fair has been such a staple. I was born in St. Paul a lot longer than I want to admit. And for the first 9 years of my life, lived on Maryland Avenue just on the other side of Como Park. So very close to the fair. So the fair has been a big part of my life. But what's great about it is it changes, but it stays the same. That there's a familiarity, but there's always something new. And that's the magic. And I know your boss, Jerry Hammer, and the State Fair Board do an outstanding job of keeping that, the tradition, but also bringing new. And that's got to be exciting to be a part of that.
Definitely, yeah. There's always a great history and sense of tradition, yep, around coming to the fair. I mean, you talk to anyone out here, and they'll have a story about how they've been coming to the fair for X number of years, always have their route, things like that. And then we've got newcomers as well and new vendors every year. So it's always exciting to see how the fair is able to innovate and bring new things out and also celebrate that history and tradition.
It's like I see that giant slide over there. It's been there my entire life, mm-hmm. and I've enjoyed it my entire life. That's one of the great attractions on the fairgrounds. Attendance so far, I've been sitting on this porch since the late 90s, so I'm a pretty good judge, especially on Saturdays and Sundays. Great crowd today. Looks like things were good on Thursday and Friday, and we talked about returning to normal. What are the expectations for attendance this year? What because you've got a plan.
Yeah, we don't have any sort of projected kind of goal for attendance. We're just really grateful for everyone who's able to come out here this year. Like I said, people just seem really excited to be back. So, yeah.
And when are attendance figures announced? Are that typically later in the day, or is it the next day, if memory serves? So we won't really know about today until tomorrow.
Yeah, so they're always announced the day afterwards, yep. between 1 to 3 p.m., and they're just posted on our website, mnstatefair.org, if people want to take a look.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big day. And that's just experience.
Yeah.
Looking from here out onto Carnes Avenue, it's going to be a big day at the fair. And the weather looks good for the coming week. Maria, pleasure to meet you. And are things going to calm down a little bit? Are you going to be able to get a bit of a breather as we get later in the fair?
We'll see.
Long hours, I know, for staff.
Yeah, we'll be here all 12 days, and this is what we work for all year, so we're just happy to be here and happy to have people on the grounds.
Yeah, and once again, big thanks to security and State Fair Police, Ramsey County Sheriff, everybody chipping in. There was talk before the fair, but we really appreciate the security and law enforcement every year and what they do. Traffic control, keeping the fair safe. We couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, thanks, Maria.
Yeah.
Maria Hayden, once again, from the State Fair, joining us here. Quick break. We're going to come back. Stephen Clark from Space Flight Now is going to join us from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Artemis 1 ready to launch. We'll get an update in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Well, it's been the talk of the news as of late, that big rocket, Artemis 1, on the pad down at Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And we've got a few minutes here with Stephen Clark from spaceflightnow.com, and he is at Kennedy Space Center. Stephen, good to visit with you.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right, Stephen, it's on the pad. It's ready to go. Now is it just all about waiting on the weather for launch?
Well, that's certainly one of the factors NASA is watching. I'm down here at the Kennedy Space Center talking to you as we speak, and it's been a stormy afternoon here, and more storms expected tomorrow. But, you know, here in Florida, the peak thunderstorm time is usually in the afternoon this time of year, so it's a morning launch around 8:30 Eastern time, 7:30 Central on Monday, so the weather looks like it will probably cooperate. However, this is a brand new rocket, and there are a lot of very complex systems on it. And NASA has done a few practice countdowns over the spring and summer and loaded fuel into this rocket. But none of those have been trouble-free. There's always been little technical issues, some more significant than others, that have come up. And if anything like that comes up again early Monday, that could result in a scrub. So, you know, NASA has said they're going to try their best. They've done everything they can to this point to get it ready, but, you know, they're not promising a launch on Monday. They have backup opportunities later in the week.
Stephen Clark joining us from spaceflightnow.com at Kennedy Space Center, and he's joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And, Stephen, this will be quite a show. This is one of the largest rockets to ever fly, so when it does go, if it is Monday, there should be quite a crowd to see it, and when they do see it, it's going to be really something, isn't it?
Yeah, the local tourism officials here in Central Florida are predicting several hundred thousand people will be visiting the Brevard County area. That's the county that the Kennedy Space Center is located in, to view the launch. And people come down to see launches all the time, but that's certainly well above your average attendance rate. You and I talked a few years ago about when SpaceX launched astronauts for the first time back in 2020. And I think the atmosphere here will be very similar to that event back in 2020. Even though there are no astronauts on this one, this is a much bigger rocket.
Yeah, and there is a lot riding on this for NASA, because there's been a lot of criticism of this Artemis 1 rocket. It's been a long time coming. It's been delayed. It's been very expensive. And ultimately, this SLS program, if you will, to return humans to the moon is, it's over budget. There's been a ton of delays.
Yeah, it's about 4 to 5 years late right now. It was originally targeted for launch at the end of 2017, so that's more than 4.5 years ago. It's been in development. Just the rocket itself has been in development for 10 years, despite the fact that it uses some old shuttle hardware that was already on the shelf, so to speak, for NASA. And so it's been a long time coming, and I added up the total cost the other day of the rocket alone has cost more than $20 billion. But if you add the Orion spacecraft, which is the human-rated capsule on top of the Space Launch System that's designed to carry a crew of four to the moon, along with all the upgrades done here at the Kennedy Space Center, that total goes to more than $45 billion over the last, granted, that's over the last 15 years. But it's quite a hunk of change that's gone into this program. And I think, you know, it all is about results. I think if it launches, despite its cost, I think the program has a little bit of staying power, despite the new fully reusable rocket that SpaceX is developing. However, if something goes wrong with this mission, I think there will be a lot of questions asked about, is it worth the cost?
Yeah, and we still haven't seen Elon Musk and SpaceX and Starship launch. Who knows? That could still happen in the coming weeks down there in Texas. Well, Stephen, very exciting. Look forward to your coverage at spaceflightnow.com. Once again, Stephen Clark joining us from Kennedy Space Center. But here we go. Monday is the target. We'll see.
Yes, indeed. We'll see. Fingers crossed that the weather holds. And you know, like I said, there are backup opportunities later in the first week of September if it doesn't go Monday.
Yeah, so in order to meet up with the moon, they need to launch sooner than later. All right, Stephen, thank you.
Thank you.
Stephen Clark, spaceflightnow.com, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We have much more from the State Fair coming up. Following the news and weather at 4, we'll go outdoors with our friend Steve Carney. We'll talk fishing and hunting. We're headed rapidly toward fall hunting season and the fall bite on our lakes and rivers. 75 now here in the Twin Cities. Southeast winds at 12 miles an hour. Slight chance of rain, maybe a thunderstorm this afternoon. A better chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. And right now in the area of the State Fairgrounds, it's cloudy, it's dry, it's breezy. The heaviest showers sit between, say, St. Cloud and Brainerd right now on the radar. Here in the greater Twin Cities area, we're looking pretty good on this Saturday afternoon. Once again, all the news, all the weather coming up at 4 o'clock, and then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. And then after that, Tommy Haynes, director of the film Hockey Land. It's a hockey documentary set on the Iron Range, coming to a theater near you. You'll be able to screen it in a theater in your neighborhood. We'll visit with director Tommy Haynes at about 4:20. Then we'll count you down to the Twins and the Giants from Target Field tonight. Our pregame show at 5:30. First pitch, 6:10. Twins trying to reel in Cleveland tonight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.